Now, NDE Radio, a weekly exploration of near-death experiences and similar encounters with the other side. Now, here's your host, Lee Whitting.
Welcome to NDE Radio with Lee Whitting, whether you're listening on TalkZone, by podcast, through the archives of our ad-free shows on our YouTube channel, or by connecting through our Facebook page. This NDE interview with Linda Anderson took place several years ago, yet it seems particularly relevant today. It was Linda's wish to serve God that brought her back from the other side. And now today, bombings in the Middle East are killing thousands of pets as well as people, so it's good to remember that all soul life is eternal. But sharing love with all life is our way of serving God on earth. This interview also discusses the question of why some denominations don't seem to recognize the souls of animals.
One of the great sorrows in many of our lives is the fact that most of the pets we come to love and cherish, most often dogs and cats, have short lifespans relative to our own. This means we suffer their loss, even when they live to the ripe old age of 19 or 20, just as we would for any other member of our family circle. The writer William Saroyan noted, "Everybody has to die, but I have always believed an exception would be made in my case. And we often hope, against hope, the same exception might be made for our beloved cat or dog as well." Our guest on NDE Radio today is Linda Anderson. Linda has devoted decades to collecting extraordinary true stories from around the world about the spiritual connections between people and animals. She's been featured in National Wire Service articles, newspapers, and magazines, as well as USA Today, The Washington Post, NPR, and The Today Show. She's done hundreds of interviews, including an hour-long radio segment in which Shirley MacLaine interviewed her about spiritual experiences with cats. Linda is a New York Times bestselling author, two-time winner of the American Society of Journalists and Authors Outstanding Book Awards, and recipient of the Governor's Award for Contributions as an Author to the State of Minnesota. She's a member of the Ekinkar clergy and author of the book 35 Golden Keys to Who You Are and Why You're Here. She's been a speaker and presenter on numerous spiritual topics, including out-of-body and near-death experiences, profound dreams, reincarnation, spiritual guides, and the levels of heaven. Her book tours have taken her to serve as keynote speaker at spiritual seminars throughout the United States and around the world. Linda, welcome to NDE Radio. Linda, I thought we might begin with your story about the out-of-body experience that contributed to your amazing career.
Yes, it's in my book, 35 Golden Keys to Who You Are and Why You're Here, and it was a story that definitely helps me relate to people who have had near-death experiences, because for me it was similar to that. I wasn't near death and I wasn't dying, at least not that I knew of, until after this experience, but I was having I would call it an out-of-body experience, where I was awake, and I wasn't dreaming, but I was out of my body. And this occurred when right after I had started a new job, and I was feeling very exhausted, just one of those kind of things where week after week I seemed to be getting more fatigued and just not able to function. And I didn't know what was going on with me. I, you know, went to see doctors, and nobody could figure out what was happening. And so early on a Sunday morning, I was going to be giving a talk at the Temple of Ek, which is the spiritual home of Ekinkar. And it was the first time I had spoken at a worship service at the temple. And I woke up early, and this experience happened. I found myself floating out of my body into an inner world in the inner worlds of heaven. And in this, there was a room that I went to where hundreds of people were gathering. They were from all different eras in history. I could tell by the clothes they were wearing. And I felt this rush of joy because I recognized them instantly, even though my mind couldn't remember all of their names. And I realized that these were souls that I had spent previous lives with. And there was a friend there who, from this lifetime, and she was in her spiritual body in this room, and she greeted me with a lot of love, but there was such sadness in her eyes. And as I stood and looked at all these souls, all these that were had gathered in the room, I asked her, am I dying? And she had tears in her eyes, and she said, yes. So we held each other and cried, and I said, you know, I'm not afraid to die. I know it's only the physical body that's going to go, but my husband and my children will grieve for me, and I just feel like I have more spiritual work to do on earth. And just as I said that, a young man came to me, and instinctively I recognized him as a spiritual master. He was just absolutely beautiful. His love, divine love, just flowed from him. And I realized that I had studied with him the teachings of the light and sound of God in a previous lifetime. Well, this young man took my hand, and he led me to an open door that led to a dark tunnel. And next to the tunnel, there was a bank of blue doors that formed a wall. So inwardly, he communicated to me that I was faced with a choice right then between life on earth or life in heaven. And that he said that something was moving through my entire body that would result in my death. So I walked, he said, if I walked through this open door, I'd enter the tunnel. And this would lead me to heaven, and I would continue to help to serve spiritually from the heavenly world. But all of a sudden, I thought, of course, of my husband and my children and my friends and my pets. And this surge of love welled up inside of me. It was for them, but it was also something more. And with all my heart, I said, I want to serve God. Well, as soon as I said that, the young man folded the blue doors over the entrance to the tunnel, and immediately I was back in my physical body at home. Mm. Tears were just streaming down my face, and I sort of felt a little amused also because I felt like I had just been to my own funeral, and I had gotten a taste of what that would be like. But because of my desire to give service to God and to life, this had been averted. I had changed. So about a month later, a friend introduced me to a new doctor, and he diagnosed me with a blood infection that was invading my whole body. And if it went untreated, it would be life-threatening. So after a month of the treatments with this doctor, all of the symptoms went away, the fatigue went away, and my energy returned. And just as kind of like a, you know, way to verify that this really had happened this way and, you know, give me some validation, shortly after that, I met this woman someplace, and she said she was a palm reader. And I had never met anybody who read palms before, but before I could even think about it, she grabbed my hand. And she looked up at me and she said, how old are you? And I said, 47. And she said, well, you're supposed to be dead by now. And she showed me a center line that ran from the end to the middle of my palm. And she said that this was the lifeline and that I was meant to live till midlife. Mm. And then she said, she looked at my palm again and she pointed out a second lifeline. And she said, I've never seen anything like this. And it ran parallel to the central one that was supposed to end at midlife, went across my palm to the end of my hand. And she said, this line predicts a long life ahead. And I said, wow. Good. Because that was what I wanted, was to be a conscious vehicle for God's love in this world.
Would have been interesting to see if she had read your palm before your out-of-body experience, whether that second line would have been there yet or not.
What a great observation. Yes, that would have been quite interesting.
Public Broadcasting announced the other day that a new word has been added to the British dictionary, and that word is fur baby. We do love our pets as almost like children, and they seem to love us in return. Do you suppose this transference from raising babies, is which is implied in this fur baby term, is what's going on here, or does the love between us and our pets stand on its own?
You know, it really does. I mean, there was a time, probably a couple of generations ago where pets didn't stay indoors. They were outdoors almost all the time. And they weren't members of the family, but now they are. And many people do feel parental towards their pets and think of them as their fur babies. And I'm really glad to hear that's in the dictionary now. That's really good. I have a story I wanted to share that goes along with that, and I think it gets right to our theme of animals and the afterlife. This is a story from a really wonderful book that I love very much. It's called Spiritual Wisdom on Life After Death by Harold Klemp. And okay. So in this story, there's a very old dog named Zeke. And this man, Zeke, was his special friend. Zeke was 14 and a half years old, and he was diagnosed with cancer. And, of course, as you were talking about when you were doing the opening, the loss of a pet and all this sort of thing, it's just like, oh, boy, do we wish that didn't have to happen. So finally, Zeke was in so much pain and so near death that the man took him back to the vet, and Zeke died in the man's arms. Well, when Zeke left his body, the man was able to feel this sense that the soul had just leapt out of that tired old body. And while he was driving home, the man's spiritual eye opened, and he saw an ex-master named Prajapati, who his special job is to help animals and to take care of animals. And Prajapati stood on a hill near a tree, and there was a stream of this golden, bright sunlight behind him. And then the man saw this beautiful ball of light, and he knew that this was Zeke, his soul, in his soul body. And Zeke was just so full of joy. He was out of that pain-filled body. And in a telepathic voice, he said, "Daddy, I'm free." The fur baby, right?
Yes, right.
And he says, "Daddy, I'm free. Thank you for all the love."
Oh, and that's wonderful.
Isn't it just wonderful? And so, this was such a wonderful confirmation that this isn't the end, and that soul is eternal for humans and for animals.
Yes. One of the most touching interviews I've done on this program was with a woman named Cheryl Lee Black. When she and her dog died in a terrible accident, she saw her dog again and described it as light manifesting itself as dog. Which is a terrific explanation, I think, for what's going on there. Do you think we'll understand the nature of God's light in our animals only when we cross over, or can we understand it here?
I think that we understand it here because, as you mentioned when you were reading my bio, my husband, Alan, and I, we've collected literally thousands of stories from all over the world, and our theme has always been a spiritual connection between people and animals. And one of the stories that we collected was from a woman named Debbie in Washington, and she had a near-death experience. She actually was in such depression and such terrible emotional and physical pain that she tried to commit suicide. And when she did that, she had a near-death experience. And in that experience, she met a spiritual being who told her, as happens many times in these experiences, that it wasn't her time to go. This spiritual being was standing, keeping her from going into that tunnel and going all the way over to the other side. So when he turned her around to go back to her life on Earth, she saw her cat, Missy, at the end of the tunnel, at the other end of the tunnel, basically beckoning her to come back to life. And so she came back to her body, and she realized she had all of these realizations that people have with near death, that it's only their physical body, that life goes on, that there's so much more for them to experience, and that it's all about love. And she was letting go of all the pain that had caused her to become suicidal, and she was forgiving herself. So Missy went with her through all of this recovery and healing that she was going through, and then Missy died. And she just missed the cat so much. One day, shortly after Missy died, Debbie was in her car. She was sitting at a traffic light, and all of a sudden she could hear Missy purring. And she turned around and looked, and here was this apparition, Missy, appearing on the seat next to her in the car.
Wow.
Because she took the time, of course, and was so shocked to see her, she stayed at the stoplight had she moved on, there was a drunk driver that had run the red light, and had she was first in line, so had she gone through the stoplight at that time, the driver would have hit her car and probably have killed her, is going that fast. So that is an answer to your question. People are having these spiritual experiences with animals who are in the afterlife, and in their near-death experiences, they are seeing animals, and they are realizing that this spiritual connection is real.
This reminds me so much of a story that I could tell you. A couple of years ago, one of the conferences we were attending, a man came in, sat down. I was chairing a panel discussion at the IONS conference, and he started asking questions about near-death experience. And he said, you know, I don't believe in this, but I've gotten a contract to write a book about it from my publisher, and so I want to know about it. And I said, you know, if you haven't had one and you're not, if you, and you've never read much about it, should you really be writing a book about it? And he persisted. So I said, well, you've never had a near-death experience, okay, but has anything ever happened to you that you couldn't really explain? And after his denying it and saying no for a while, suddenly it occurred to him that he'd had this dog that he really loved. This dog had traveled with him. He'd drive down to Florida in the wintertime, and the dog was, you know, his real companion, and then the dog died. Well, he's driving down to Florida this next year, and he was falling asleep at the wheel, and he said, and the car was going off toward an embankment, and all of a sudden he heard his dog bark, same bark that he'd always known was his dog, woke him up and saved his life.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So I said, well, take that story. Take that story. Keep that in mind as you're writing your book, and you'll begin to understand what's going on here.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Honestly, you know, one of the things I'm going to talk about in my talk at the IONS conference is that, you know, the skeptical mind, it really can do a number on you. But if you can let yourself have those kind of experiences and remember, just as you helped the man to recall his experience, remember the experiences you have with animals. Animals really open us up spiritually because they open our hearts. And if you talk to anybody who's had a near-death or out-of-body experience, the major thing that they come away with is the love. Well, animals are masters at unconditional love. And once you start to have those kind of experiences with unconditional love with animals, your heart begins to open, and it starts to heal and calm your skeptical mind. And all of a sudden, there's possibilities. There's things that your mind could never comprehend, that your mind never thought could happen. And yet, indeed, they happen.
As an Ekankar clergy person, you probably believe in reincarnation. Do you think the souls of animals also reincarnate? And can they reincarnate as people?
You know, the answer is yes to both of them, and I've actually had the experience of a cat who reincarnated into my family, and it was just amazing. This cat came back as a kitten. I was taking a nap one afternoon. I woke up. I don't remember what I was dreaming. I jumped out of bed, and I said to my husband, we've got to get to the animal shelter right now. Unfortunately, my husband is used to me being like this. And so he said, okay. So we hurried over to the animal shelter. We weren't intending to get a kitten, but we hurried over to the animal shelter and found this little kitten. And he was about to be adopted by somebody else, and then they said, oh, no, he doesn't like kids. Well, this cat that we had before, Muggsy, did not like kids. So anyway, I looked in his eyes and I said, oh, my gosh, Muggsy is back. It really looks like this is Muggsy. Anyway, so we wound up bringing the kitten home. And Muggsy had certain places in the house that he liked, and they were obscure. They were, you know, like we have a house with a lot of windows. He had one window that was his favorite window. He had one chair that was upstairs, that was his favorite rocking chair, his favorite chair. Well, this little kitten could barely walk. She was so tiny. And she jumped out of my arms when I brought her home, and immediately she, just very painstakingly, because she was really had tiny legs, went up the stairs, and she went right to that window. She went right to that chair. And it was like, okay, Muggsy, you're back.
She came home.
She came home.
Well, do you suppose the ghosts of recently deceased pets stick around with in the house, you know, or do they ever sort of join up with a new pet you might get?
You know, we have had many, many stories from people, and we have them, you know, of something similar to what you're talking about. The most common thing we hear from people, of course, the most common thing we hear from people is they write to us and say, you're going to think we're crazy.
Yes.
We always write back and say, no, we don't. We don't think that. The second most common thing is they say, it feels like this previous animal, that soul, helped to find this new one. And because this new one seems to just know what to do. It seems to know what our attitudes are, what our habits and our likes and dislikes are, and just fits right into this family in a way that you could never imagine a new pet fitting in. And so that is very something that happens quite regularly. My husband, Alan, had an experience where this dog that, oh, my goodness, he just loved this dog so much. And when this dog died, he really missed her terribly, and he had a very deep dream one night before we were going to go out to look at a litter of puppies to see if we were going to adopt a new one. And in this dream, the dog brought this puppy out of an ocean, this beautiful ocean, and dropped the puppy at his feet. And he looked into this puppy's eyes and said, okay, I guess you're the one. So we went to look at this litter of puppies, and sure enough, there's this little puppy comes over and looks just exactly like the one he saw in his dream. And out of all the puppies there, this little puppy comes over and unties his shoelace. It's like, if you're sensitive and you really start paying attention, life gives you a whole lot of messages.
Wow. What do you have a favorite story about the afterlife and animals?
You know, I have so many favorites, like Who's Your Favorite Child, but there's one that I love very much, and I like to tell it because so many people love horses, and they, you know, have a really deep bond with horses. This one just is a beautiful example of continuity of life. A woman named Barbara from Manitoba, she had a very emotional and spiritual relationship with her horse, Cherokee, and Cherokee became ill and disabled, and she had realized that she had to let him go. And this happened in the spring, and she loved this horse so much. She lived on a big farm, ranch type of thing, and she named a section of her land Cherokee Hill. Well, she wondered if Cherokee was okay, as we all do when an animal passes. We all wonder, you know, is this animal okay? And in the winter of that same year, she put on her snowshoes, and it was very deep snow, and she took a walk on a trail that they have through their property through the deep snow. All of a sudden, she hears this bird chirping in the middle of this frigid winter out in this landscape with no trees, nothing, just this bird chirping. And she looks up, and it turns out it's a chickadee. Well, this little bird flew in front of her and broke away from the trail, and the bird stopped three different times waiting for her to follow him. And she just felt like she was being led somewhere. So they got near Cherokee Hill, and the bird almost landed on her shoulder and was just singing insistently and trying to tell her something. And she was so excited when she got home. She was just telling everybody about this bird, but she was really puzzled. Well, the next day she went on a walk with her friend, and they decided to go to the last spot where the bird had led her. And she looked down, and there was a bird's nest in the middle of the field, no trees around. And she picked it up and put it in her backpack, went back home, took a closer look, and interwoven in this bird's nest was the horsehairs from Cherokee. Cherokee [S2] Wow. [S1] Had distinctive golden blonde hair and on his mane and tail, and it was unlike any other horse that she had. And she realized that this bird, that was Cherokee's way of delivering her a message, and she said the message was, he isn't really gone, he's only taken wing.
Very nice. As a chaplain, I hear near-death experience stories, and I may have told this on the air before, but I'll tell you. There was this man who I asked, whenever somebody codes in the hospital, I ask them if they saw anything on the other side. He said, yes, he said, I had this dog that I loved so much, and it had died 3 months before. He said, as I was having my heart attack, his massive heart attack, he said, I was able to dial 911, and I hit the ground, and I felt my soul leaving my body. And as I left my body, he said, there was this dog, my dog, waiting for me. He said, and I was so happy, and I reached out to pick him up, but just then they hit me with the paddles and it shocked me back into my body. So I never got to pick him up, but he was delighted to think that his dog was going to be there waiting for him when he did die.
Oh, Lee, thank you for sharing that. You know, that means so much coming from you, especially being a hospital chaplain and someone who I'm sure is just deeply respected and loved and gives so much service. And for you to share a story like that with the listeners is just wonderful because it's so validating.
Linda, do you suppose... I opened the show with a question about why some Christian denominations refuse to think of animals as having souls. I'm not sure it's altogether biblical. I think maybe instead it's a fear that people will not want to join their church because they're advocating vegetarianism. Because how could you subscribe to killing an animal if you know intrinsically that it's a living being just like yourself with an eternal life?
You know, that's a good question, and I think you're probably right about that being an issue. A couple of things I want to say. One is that in the teachings of Eckankar, they look at it a little differently, and in a way it really helped me to understand, why you can look at animals as spiritual beings. And it's the one of the tenets is that you don't have a soul. You are soul. You are not your physical body. Your physical body is a vehicle that is in use to the soul to gain experience, to learn about life, to learn about love. And so consequently, you're not killing the soul. You don't ever kill the soul. The soul never dies. And so when you look at it that way, you understand that we really are all connected, that we are soul, we are in the body of God, so to speak. And as soul, we don't die, it's just our physical body that, regardless of how the physical body dies. Now, of course, you want, in the terms of animals, you want the animal to be treated humanely and, you know, not have any undue pain or suffering more than needs to be or anything like that. But it is a physical body, just like your physical body will die and fade away. But you as soul live on. So that's one thing. And another thing that I do, and I just want to say this to your listeners, because this has come up many, many times when people call us and they email us, and so we talk about it with them when they have that question. Their church teaches that they won't see their animals in heaven, and yet they believe that they will. They believe that that soul has lived on. And so what we tell them is that if that church or religion brings you comfort in other ways, and this is meeting your spiritual needs in other ways, you know, for so many religions, this is not a big, huge doctrinal point. You can agree to disagree on this point. You know, you can still, you know, some people say they just won't go back to that congregation again because people say things to them that are so hurtful that, you know,
yes,
they're trying to tell them that they'll never see their animal again and that they shouldn't be grieving like that. So, you know, choose a different congregation if you need to do that. But, you know, take a look at it in the context of the whole set of teachings and see whether or not that religion and those teachings are fitting your spiritual needs. And then, like I said, agree to disagree on that one point.
So that's a terrific answer, Linda.
My thanks again to Linda Anderson for sharing the story of her NDE and her studies concerning the souls of animals. Be sure to look for all her books on Amazon. And thanks again to you for listening. If you'd like to hear this show again or any of our more than 500 archived ad-free NDE interviews, go to TalkZone's NDE radio site and hit the past shows button, or go to our YouTube channel, NDE Radio with Lee Whitting, where you can subscribe to and comment on the complete NDE radio library. And listen next Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern at TalkZone for more NDE Radio. I'm your host, Lee Whitting, saying once again, thanks for listening.